It to Midnight Radio Network all across America, 800-288-9227. And Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. Drivers, if you have a question on hours of service, if you have questions on the topic that we found out about last week, the Senate introducing a bill to mandate electronic onboard recorders in all commercial vehicles.
Yeah.
800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
And we want to remind you, it is Ask the Law for Monday, October 4th, 2010. All the information and answers are up to date at this time. Can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Monty Dial are considered to be opinions only. And we ask you to go to askthelaw.org and click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law anytime to submit your CMV questions. CSA 2010. Driver approached me on Don, who approached me Saturday night, actually, it was about 29 hours ago or so. He came up to me and he said, okay, here's the deal. I got a ticket, I got a citation on my motorcycle, and I was told that this is going to affect my CSA 2010 score, and that I am not going to be able to, I'm not going to be as hireable as I was before under CSA 2010. Is that true on their motorcycle?
Fiction.
That is false.
Yes.
That will not affect you under CSA 2010.
Correct.
Now, it will affect other databases, other...
It will affect... If a citation was issued and he pays the citation, there will be an entry on his driver's license record
right.
that says that he was issued a speeding citation or was convicted of a speeding citation.
Mm.
But anything that happens in their personal vehicle
right.
will have no effect on CSA score.
Okay. And I said, no, I don't think, I said, under CSA 2010, no. Now, if the carrier gets that information, they may take that into consideration for some other reason. But under CSA 2010, no.
Correct. Anything, and drivers need to remember, any data that affects their CSA score
yep.
has to be done through a roadside inspection.
Right.
If a regular trooper writes you a speeding ticket and does not perform a roadside inspection, that does not affect your CSA score.
Okay. All right.
Only data collected during a roadside inspection. The trooper hands you a piece of paper that says you went through a level 1, a level 2, a level 3, or a level 6 will affect CSA score.
All right. Now, another question. Another operation approached me in Joplin and said, okay, we have teams and we have sensitive government contract loads that essentially we have to, a driver has to be awake at all times. I've actually seen these types of loads.
I have, too. I've stopped some of them.
I bet you have. I knew one couple, and they ran for a large company and had a massive sleeper. They used to go to all the truck shows and show this sleeper off because they could not leave the truck. There had to be somebody in the truck at all times.
Mm-hmm.
They even had cameras on the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but in this operation, the one he said, when we stop, the driver in the sleep, because they are teams, they're running 10 and 10, the driver in the sleeper berth has to be awake in order to monitor, essentially, the truck. So someone has to be awake. Now, the driver who was driving just stops for a restroom break, or to get food or something, and has to leave the truck and go inside and comes back out. During that time, is that sleeper berth driver, even though they're awake, that's still in the sleeper berth, do they have to log that as on duty not driving?
No, as long as the driver never leaves the confines
okay.
of the sleeper,
yeah.
the driver can claim sleeper berth.
Right.
This goes back to our earlier conversation.
Right.
FMCSA does not regulate what a driver does.
So they can sit there and watch TV?
They can sit there and watch TV, read books, crochet, knit, whatever they want to.
Yes. In fact, the Crochet Club, the Crochet Trucking Club, will be meeting this Wednesday. More details coming.
Yeah. And as long as they do it in the confines of the sleeper,
yeah,
they log sleeper berth. It's just like we talked earlier. Driver goes 10 hours off duty.
Right.
FMCSA regulation. Here again, we hope the driver's getting sleep, but there's nothing in the regulations that says FMCSA has the powers to determine whether or not that driver got sleep during those 10-hour break.
All right, oil field exemptions before the break. And as we were wrapping up, I encouraged the driver to go. Please go to askthelaw.org. Submit the question just as you asked it on the program, and you can even let them know that you were on the program with us and spoke to Trooper Dial. You would like to get something to show them there back at the office, because the driver's getting conflicting information. Gee, that's nothing new around here, a driver getting conflicting information about oil field exemptions.
Yep.
He said he was told 16 hours, and then recently was told 22 hours. And in his operation, he's getting maybe 30 minutes at the sand pit where he's not driving, and maybe up to 2 hours out there on the oil site where he is not driving. He's unloading or doing whatever. But essentially, if he's not leaving the state, if he's intrastate,
right,
he's under the intrastate rules of Texas, should say, because he was calling from Texas.
Right.
Then in that case, he's on a 15-hour limit.
Right. 12 hours driving, 15 hours total duty time, 8 hours off duty.
Okay. Now, how is that broken up as far as that drive time? That 12 hours can be broken up under that intrastate rule in Texas.
Yes.
So he can go to, if he goes to the site after driving 6 hours,
mm-hmm,
gets there and it takes 2 hours to unload,
mm-hmm,
then he still, when he's done unloading, he still has another 6 hours to drive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure does.
All right. And that unloading, if he's performing duties, obviously would be on duty, not driving.
Yes.
That'd be part of that 15.
Right.
All right. So, again, what we encourage you to do, or any driver to do, is go to askthelaw.org. You're going to see a big red button when you get to the website. Click on that. It says email, ask the law. Click on that button. So that way, and what will happen is RJ or somebody on the staff will get an answer for you from one of the troopers. Could be Trooper Dial or somebody else, depending on where you are. So we appreciate that. All right. If you have a question about electronic onboard recorders, CSA 2010, maybe there's something you're worried about on your record, and you wonder if this is going to affect you under CSA 2010, 800-288-9227. We want to get you involved at 800-288-9227. We'll kind of clarify and once again let you know what's going on this pending legislation. It is a bill, legislation introduced by Senators Mark Pryor, a Democrat out of Arkansas, and Senator Lamar Alexander, a Republican of Tennessee, last week, that essentially would make electronic onboard recorders mandatory on commercial vehicles.
And you brought up a great point before during the break when we were talking about it. I said, well, it'll at least be, 3 to 4 years out. And you made the great point. Well, no, that's the maximum.
Right.
They have up to 3 years. And I was thinking that you might not see it for another year. And again, you look at, if you do get a Republican Congress, mm-hmm, and the leadership can keep any bill from going forward, so it's only, one or two people that could be in control of that. Would that be something the Republicans would focus on if they got power? And the answer is, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no prediction here. By the way, we don't have any predictions on the hours of service rule. Nobody knows what this thing is going to look like. And really, Trooper Dial, when it comes to the implementation of a law, if this bill becomes law requiring electronic onboard recorders on all trucks, All that really depends on what that hours of service rule looks like, and vice versa. I mean, as they're considering this rule, which again, the new hours of service rule would be just that. It's not legislation. It is not a law. There may be, I don't know, there could be consideration. Again, I'm just speculating. Speculation on my part, not on the part of Trooper Dial here, that there is consideration for an electronic onboard recorder.
Well, they could go in and part of the mandatory bill or mandatory law for requiring all motor carriers to have EOBRs, they could also go in there and write into that law what the hours of service limitations are.
That's a really great point. I didn't even think of that.
If they do that, then it takes all of this litigation out of the courts. And they step up and say, okay, we now have a law rather than a rule.
Wow. Okay, and we've talked about that here. Mm-hmm. And again, if you change that, one of the concerns would be once a hours of service law becomes law, it literally takes an act of Congress to amend it, to change it.
Yes.
So that's the concern by some. We're back here in just a few minutes. We have calls coming in. If you want to get on board, we invite you to do that right now. Trooper Dial is here and has been for many years on Ask the Law as a service to this trucking community, and we thank R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA for making this all possible. We're back to you next. It is Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
We're here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. It is Ask the Law for Monday, October 4th, 2010. All the information and answers are up to date, can change without notice. And statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. 800-288-9227. Let's get to your questions right now.
Let's go to David in Ohio. David, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Yes, my question is, I'm at a shipper. Been there for quite a while. I'm about to run out of hours, and as soon as I get loaded up, you know, I run out of hours. And he says, I can't sleep on the property. What do I do?
You're going to follow the wishes and command of the shipper. You're going to take and go ahead and log your logbook, even though you're going to be in violation, and try to find the nearest suitable location to get rest.
Okay, that's it.
Well, thank you so much. We do appreciate it. And that gets back to the question I had earlier. Electronic or paper logs, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
If you're out of time and you've got to go somewhere else to get that rest, I mean, you can't stop where you are. You essentially, at that point, you're out of compliance, but that's what you do.
Yes.
It seems to me if EOBRs become mandatory, the planning is going to get a lot better in this industry. But the problem with that is that for safe planning, and again, just my opinion here, just my observation, for safe planning, if you wanted to just say, okay, I know that I can park here, even though I've got another 45 minutes to drive left, or another hour and a half to drive left in my day, I'm not confident or certain that there is a parking space down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That could, again, essentially slow down the movement of commerce. You do that times 3.5 million trucks,
yes,
and you see how many hours we're going to lose on rolling time there.
Correct.
And that's it. 800-288-9227. I don't want to get to a question just yet. Sometimes we get into a complicated question, but if you've got questions right now, go ahead and get in, and we're going to get John and Roy and you on here in just a moment as we talk about these hours of service questions, CSA 2010 questions, and much, much more. The firefighter exemption is one that came up there. I have ran into a firefighter friend And we do know that if you're off duty, if you're not driving truck, but you go to a second job, that has to be logged as on duty, not driving. If you've got a part-time job, you have to log that as on duty, not driving, correct? There is an exemption for firefighters. Essentially, they have to log any on-duty time at the firehouse. However, we do know that firefighters rest while they're at the you know, because they work 24-hour shifts. They, if they're allowed to rest during that time or required to rest during that time, then that can go as off-duty.
That's correct.
Okay. So that was an interesting interpretation, but I want to thank Larry for pointing this out. He says, I need you to see this. He actually has this printed off, and he gave it to me. And he says, because I said, well, don't you have to log that, those 24 hours? He said, no, not all 24 hours. If I'm allowed to rest, if I'm essentially off duty, if I'm allowed to or required to rest, I have that exemption.
Yes.
So I learned something while I was in Joplin. We're back with Ask the Law coming up next.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law for Monday, October 4th, 10-4. And Trooper Dial is here to answer your questions. We want to let you know that all the information and questions are up to date at this time. They can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. AskTheLaw.org is the website. Click on that big red button that says Email Ask the Law. When you get there, to submit your CMV questions anytime. Let's get right back to you at 800-288-9227.
All right, let's talk to Al in Arkansas. Al, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
My question was, when is all this supposed to go into effect, and what really is the difference in that thing and a quail comb? Because from what I'm hearing, it don't tell you anything other than what the quail comb tell you, when the truck moves and stops and what time and all that.
Qualcomm is a somewhat similar version to an electronic onboard recorder.
Hmm.
The thing is, if FMCSA or these two senators get their law passed, what they will have to do is they will have to go in and spell out exactly the type of data that has to be captured to meet the requirements of the EOBR.
Yeah.
Lot of them we've heard is they have to what we call ping the vehicle. I think it's every 15 minutes.
Hmm. Send a signal by GPS,
right,
to show where it is.
Right, to show where it is. The driver has to have the capability of the driver manually switching back and forth to any one of the four lines.
Right.
If the driver is on anything other than line three, after a certain period of time, the vehicle starts moving. There's going to be some alarms go off that tells the driver that, hey, you're on something other than the driving line. The vehicle is moving, and you have to manually move it over, and if the driver doesn't move it over, then it automatically moves over to the driving line.
Oh, it automatically does. Okay.
Yeah.
So the deal with the Qualcomm, it has the capability built into where it can send and receive messages, but that is going to be separate of the actual EOBR.
Yeah, yeah. Because essentially the EOBR is going to have other actual equipment-related functions related to it that the Qualcomm doesn't necessarily have, right?
Not really, because here again, until we actually get it written down, what all has to be done, it's mainly going to track the vehicle. It's going to ping the vehicles every 15 minutes, and it has to basically record one of the four lines and have the capability that a driver uses a code to identify that particular driver is operating that piece of equipment, and then the motor carrier will have to retain the records for 6 months.
Okay, then. If you get it all on paper, how you're saying it, how long or when are we looking forward to this taking effect?
Well, there are two there are two rules here. In fact, the FMCSA, well, one would be law if it passes, the bill that was introduced last week, and there is regulation, which is not a law, but a regulation,
right.
An EOBR regulation by the FMCSA that would mandate the use of EOBRs for motor carriers with a record of noncompliance on hours of service. Now, that one takes effect
till, I think that one's supposed to take effect in 2012.
So,
but here again, for that, for a motor carrier to be placed under those or be put in that situation,
yeah,
the carrier has to go through a compliance review.
Right.
And in factor three, which has to do with your hours of service, they have to receive an unsatisfactory rating. And at that point, if they get an unsatisfactory rating, not on the whole compliance review,
right,
but just factor three, there's six factors that are scored. And factor three has to deal with the hours of service. So if that motor carrier gets an unsatisfactory rating in factor three, now then FMCSA can come in and say, Mr. Motor Carrier, for the next 2 years, you have to install and use EOBRs.
That one we already know. That rule will take effect,
in
2012. That one is already a done deal. What we're waiting to find out is basically the fate of this bill that was introduced by two senators last week. If that one becomes law, it means that all motor carriers would be required to have an EOBR.
I got you.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. We do appreciate the call. 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to Roy in Texas. Roy, hi. You're on the Midnight Raider Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
How are y'all doing?
Good. You're on the radio.
My question was about the onboard recorders.
Okay.
I'm in a food-grade tanker operation.
Okay.
And we're regulated on time sensitive because of Board of Health having to get these things unloaded. And we get to a plant, and just for say there's five, six trucks ahead of you, and it could vary in time to unload from 30 minutes to 2 hours. You're there 7-8 hours, and you're sitting on the side of the street or either in the parking lot. It's your turn to unload. The man comes out and gets you in your wheel for less than 5 minutes. All you got to do is pull up back in the hold, or either pull straight in the hold to unload. What are we supposed to do about the on-board recording moving the truck for less than 5 minutes and probably less than 100 yards?
Well, the thing is, and here again, I have come to the conclusion that there's people that hate them.
Yeah.
And there's people that love them.
Sure.
And
we've heard from both on this show.
Yeah, you know, it's basically a love-hate issue between truck drivers. Those that love it, what it's going to do, in the situation, Roy, that you have just described, what it does is it is going to afford you more time to spend or to devote to driving, because under the EOBR, it's minute to minute. On a logbook, it's in 15-minute segments.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what you would have to do is, in your situation, if you're sitting on the street, you could log that as on duty, not driving.
Yes, sir.
Or if it was a situation where you had you pulled in there and they told you it's going to be 2 hours before we get to you. And if you leave and decide you want to go down the street, you know, walk down the street or go here or go there, you can log it as off duty. That doesn't count against your 70-hour clock. But if it's a situation where you have to stay there, because at any given time they're going to come tell you it's your turn, now then you log that as on duty, not driving, which now in turn eats your 14-hour clock up.
Right.
But with the EOBR, you're still going to be under the 14-hour clock, but what it's going to do is it's going to allow you to spend additional time as driving versus with the paper log.
Right.
So that 5 minutes will obviously, that's going to be logged. There's not going to be, as far as we know, again, this legislation, we haven't seen the verbiage of this legislation.
Correct.
And beyond that, and we're talking about the what would be law, not the rule that's in place now. Beyond that, or the rule that's that will take effect in 2 years that is in place. Beyond that, there is this element that once it gets into Congress, you know, things change. There's something added to it. There's something taken out of it. And then the final bill that's voted on is what we essentially have to pay attention to.
Yes.
Because there could be, and we don't know. We really don't know. It's possible that they could put one exemption in or some kind of 15-minute window exemption in. We don't know. And so we'll get to it then. But as far as we know, every device will certainly record the movement of that truck.
Yes.
How it will apply to your log and affect you still remains to be seen. At this point, we just have to assume that would be logged as and affect you as on-duty driving, period.
Yes.
All right? So if you've gotten to your 11 hours of drive time at that point, and that you stop and then you have to go drive some more, you will be out of compliance.
Right. You can still drive, you know, and I've heard a lot of them say, well, you know, once I get to that 11th hour, mm-hmm. or once I get to that 14th hour, or once I get to the 60 or the 70 hour, it's going to shut the truck down. It's not going to do that.
No, it'll still move.
The truck will still move, but what it's going to do is there'll be all kinds of alarms and bells going off that says, hey, you are in violation.
Yeah. So, again, thank you for the call. We do appreciate that. We are back to Ask the Law in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara, Eric Harley.
And the show continues when we're off the air as well. Senior Trooper Monty Dial, the retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, is here. Thank you, Old Blue USA, for making this possible. All the informations and questions, answers to questions are up to date. As of today, Monday, October 4th, 2010, can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's see if we can get one more question in before we let Trooper Dial get some rest.
All right, let's talk to Lee in Ohio. Hi, Lee. Hi, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
I was wondering how these congressmen can pass a law that forces a private citizen to buy equipment. And who's making the equipment that I'm going to be forced to buy? Is it Lamar Alexander's cousin, or is it the company that makes it, or is it...
Yeah. Well, those are all good questions, and we do appreciate that. And valid concerns, and we did talk about those Friday on Northland Night. Look, it comes down to this. It's equipment. It's the same people that require you to have compliant equipment in certain states when it comes to emissions. That's just a fact. Nobody likes that. That's one of the concerns by OOIDA. They put into place that's what you have to do to be a commercial operation, and you have to meet those requirements. It's that simple. That has happened since the beginning of the movement of commerce.
Yes.
we require you to have tires that are that live up to standard, and equipment that lives up to standard. And again, nobody likes the added cost and too much regulation here, but that's just how it works.
But we talk about that all the time when we have Trooper Dial on. Trooper Dial tells you what the law is.
Right. Yes.
Is he enforced?
He is not a former senator or congressman.
Right.
He is a former trooper who enforces the law that's already put in place by those other people.
Right.
So,
just want to make that clear for future shows.
Just want to make that clear. All right. AskTheLaw.org is the website. Click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law. Now, coming up on our next Ask the Law, we're going to be here right after the election.
Yes.
It's going to be just days after the election. Ooh, goody. Also, we may have some movement on this bill, one way or the other.
We also may have a published
hours of service.
Rulemaking for hours of service.
Wow. November's Ask the Law. Put it on your calendar now, the first Monday in November, and we will see you then. In fact, it will be Monday, November 1st, won't it be? I think it will. Tuesday, November 2nd is Election Day. We've got to run. Ask the Law.
On the Midnight Radio Network.